Romans 14, verse 1. Him that is weak in the faith, receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. There's some things we just don't need to argue about. There's some things that just, you know, they're just not necessary to argue about, right? There just are. But for one, he says in verse 2, for one believeth that he may eat all things. Another, who is weak, eateth herbs. Now at this time in this writing, it's not far from the Corinthian letter. And we talk about in Corinthians, there was those that were still wouldn't partake of any meats that were given to idols. And there were some that they're going to buy the meat and they're going to eat the meat because the issue is about grace. It's not about following the law anymore. And there was a lot. There were over 10,000 instructors, it says in 1 Corinthians. And so there were many that although they were saved by grace and they understood the message of Paul, they were starting to follow or they were still following teachers that dealt with those that were from Athens and those that were from the Jewish law and those that were still following idols, and they were mixing. In other words, there were a lot of denominations just like there are today. And that's what was going on. That's the best way I can picture it, is just to focus it as I would consider those denominations. They knew Jesus. They knew who He was. But they were following things that Paul did not give them to follow. Right? So that's what was going on. He reads here in verse 2, for one believeth that he may eat all things, another who is weak eateth herbs. Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not. And let not him which eateth not judge him that eateth. For God hath received him. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. Yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand. Well, you know how we stand, don't you? It's by not what you eat, or not what you know, but it's by the grace of God that you stand. We're all filthy people. In the flesh, there's nothing good in us at all. And anything that is good that we bring about of ourselves is our own glory, so it's selfishness. So anything good at all is of Christ. Verse 5 says, one man esteemeth one day above another, another esteemeth every day alike. Well, we can see denominations with that today, can't we? Some worship on Saturday, some worship on Sunday. Well, my hope is that you rejoice every single day in what Christ is, that Christ did for you. No day holds any precedence of any other day. Now Sunday we meet here as a body, and it's a good time for all to meet, and it's accustomed to what most people do, and most people are off of work on Sunday morning, so I believe it's a great time to meet. But that is why we meet. It's not because it's any better than Monday. It's just, you know, I think we need to meet when it's the best time to meet, don't you? Absolutely. But that's the issue with why we meet on Sunday. One man, in verse 5, one man esteemeth one day above another, another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. He that regardeth the day regardeth it unto the Lord, and he that regardeth not the day to the Lord, he doth not regard it. He that eateth to the Lord, for he giveth God thanks. And he that eateth not, to the Lord he eateth not, and giveth God thanks. What's the issue? That in all things that we do, we give God thanks, right? Not the issue of what we do in works. And Mark, great message this morning. Mark taught this morning on the doctrine of works. Great. He's going to finish the second part next week. And by the way, the part next week is the part that deals with your doctrine, so you can be here and you ain't going to hurt it off for what you missed today, right? So it'll work out great. So we'll see y'all next Sunday at 9:30. In saying that, verse 7, for none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord, and whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ both died and rose and revived. That is the issue. That he might be Lord both of the dead and living. But why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught? Extremely important word that I went back over my lesson last week. And what I'm going to touch on is a lot of people set at naught thy brother. For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. There is the issue. You need to understand there are things that we are held accountable for, whether saved, you know, you're still going to stand before God. So a lot of people have the issue, well, I'm saved by grace, I can do whatever. Let me tell you what, you're going to stand. That's why you're called a minister of reconciliation. That's why you have responsibilities. That's why many of Paul's letters, he gives commandments that we need to adhere to as a body, as an assembly, okay, as ambassadors for Christ. And it's individually, it's not as a nation, but it's individual. So you will stand accountable. And we spoke of judgment a little bit, and I want to look today at Colossians. Now, I'll admit, I'm a very judgmental person a lot of times that I shouldn't be. And I believe we can all say we're very judgmental people about things that are not necessary to be judgmental about. Would you agree? Look, I'm telling you, I see somebody walk across the hall. It's a habit. It's how I'm growing. I can measure them. I do. Don't need to. It's not important. I mean, that's the kind of people we are. There are a lot of times that people are measured before we ever talk to them. Would you agree? We can have a habit of judging them before they ever get a chance to speak. Let me tell you what, as I was growing up as a young child, let me tell you what, we were raised in a family that we were extremely judgmental. Extremely. In fact, there are many that will judge you today as a grace believer not being part of any denomination. Right? There are many that think you're crazy listening to Paul's letters for your doctrine. There may be people think you're crazy listening to Paul up here behind the pulpit too. Yeah, there are many that will believe that. But you know, you'll never know if you don't take a stand for anything. That's something you'll never have to deal with. But if you take a stand for anything that's right, I'm going to tell you what, you'll have to deal with it. I mentioned weeks ago the fact that I can finally, for the first time in my life, even though I always said that I would die for what I believe in, I probably wasn't true in the past, but I'm going to tell you it's more true today than it's ever been. And I can't just tell you that and expect you to believe it, but I know within myself, my faith will stand. Because it's never been proven wrong with where I'm at today. That's exciting. That's something that's exciting, guys, to know that there is something that is worth living for when you know the truth. Judging doesn't make people right if they judge you for your faith. That doesn't make them right. Having the majority in their group doesn't make you wrong either. All my life, in the last 4 years, I've heard, why are so many people so different than what you believe? Doesn't make them right at all, does it? Paul was left alone. Right? Colossians chapter 2, verse 13. In Colossians 2:13, the Apostle Paul says, "And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath He quickened together with Him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us." That's what Mark spoke of this morning about the issue of the law that was given to Moses. Those things are done away. Especially those things that men added to, because they were never law anyway except by man. But anyway, blotting out those things that were important at one time, the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to His cross. How do you become more clear to that when it comes dealing with the law today? It was nailed to the cross. It was cursed. Verse 15, "And having spoiled principalities and powers, He made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of an holy day or of the new moon or of the Sabbath days." Now let me tell you what, Paul writing this, And Judaizers reading this, you don't think they wanted to kill him? And that's what they, I mean, that was the issue of their heritage. It says, or of the new moon, or of the Sabbath days, which are a, this is important, a shadow of things to come. But, I mean, something's different, but the body is of Christ. Notice the wording that, notice those things that were a shadow of things to come. Let me tell you what, denominations today, we're, and I didn't think about it until you brought it up this morning, Mark, about works. There's not a club, a fraternity, a cult, or what a lot of people call churches today that don't base works as part of their doctrine of what they do. Right? You know what they're doing? They're living in the shadows of things to come, is what they're doing. There are a lot of people today that are living in the shadow of things to come that are blotted out now. They're not even a part when it comes to our salvation. He's talking to them about judging these. In verse 16, notice, let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of an holy day or of the new moon or of the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. Let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind. There are some things that we just don't need to be judgmental about today, do we? There are some things that we don't need to focus on when it deals with the physical flesh of what things were a shadow of things to come. There are some areas of our life that are debatable when it comes to the do's and don'ts, aren't there? There are also a lot of things that are needed to be determined in our life. They're specific and they're laid down in the Word of God. There are some things that aren't debatable when it comes to do this or don't do that. But there are many things that are specific and that you can only find the truth out and they can only be determined by the Word of God. There are the things that we should read and study on, right? There are also things that we ought not that we ought to preach on too. But you know, there's a lot of things that we ought not to preach on that many preach on today that just aren't necessary. They're not doctrinally correct. Today, in most denominations, the preaching is on the do's and the don'ts. By the way, this is how I was raised. I was very judgmental on the do's and the don'ts. So much that there were things that I could judge about you that I taught myself that it would send you to hell. Were you ever raised to the point that you measured somebody by what they did or what they wore or how they acted or where they were at? And I was taught to just already measuring, well, they'll go to hell. I mean, that's pretty serious judging, is it not? And that's what was going on here. People were judging. Romans 14:9 we read this morning, for to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that He might be Lord both of the dead and living. But why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. When I see that we were not, is saying that why judge your brother as though he's of no value? Those that were stronger in the faith would look at the weaker in the faith as though they're of no value to me. But what are they if they're saved? They're part of the body. Right? They won't do what we want them to do, is the attitude that was going on. Many today will believe this way, right? There are many denominations. You won't do what I tell you to do? So be with you. There are some that say they don't look or dress like us. This is how I was raised. I grew up this way. Their value shouldn't be anything about what they look like or whether they look like or act like. What's the value in? It's based on the fact that Christ died and rose and was revived, that He might be Lord of both the dead and the living." Our acceptance ought to be on the basis of who they are in Christ Jesus. Amen? Our acceptance of somebody that's weaker in the faith, that may still be grasping on to those things they no longer need to grasp on, the issue for us in judging them ought to be on the basis of who they are. And then they'll be persuaded by the Word. By the way, that means when you persuade them or when you help them or when you bring them along, you know what you use? Not what you think or how you feel, but you use the Word of God. That's by the basis of it. We don't set at naught our weaker brother. We don't judge thy brother that way. Why? I'm glad you asked. Go to Romans chapter 14. Look at verse 10. Romans 14:10. "But why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ." Notice it says, "For we shall all stand at the judgment seat of Christ." We don't need to set at naught thy brother. Look at verse 11. "For it is written, As I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give account of himself." Notice what it says. "Of himself to God." Notice this account isn't, I'm not going to give an account of my wife. I'm not going to give an account of my family. I'm not going to give an account of my church members or my friends. It will be myself that I'll give an account for. So when you look at me or you look at others, let me tell you what. You will give an account for yourself to God. So it is important as grace believers that we understand there were things that Paul gave in his letters to understand of how we are to live and that we're to give an account for. There is a responsibility to this assembly, not for the assembly, but for yourself. There is an account. I heard this phrase, and I heard Steve use it. I can't remember whose name he used, but he used the phrase that every tub is going to have to sit on its own bottom. I like that. That's about as country as you'll see me get right there. Every tub is going to have to sit on its own bottom. This is especially important to young people. Don't count on your parents. You give an account to yourself. So when you make decisions or judgments or whatever as you grow, make sure it's by the Word of God. You will give an account. Now, I didn't mean it's especially important to young people like it's not important to us, but I believe young people ride on the coattails of their parents in what they believe because their parents said so. You need to make sure your parents are right. You need to be persuaded by the Word of God. Right? They need to be taught. Years ago, I can remember. I can remember years ago with my family, it was blacks and whites and Hispanics. We had a name for every one of them. And we didn't have a thing to do with any of them. It's how I was raised. It's how my dad was raised. It's how my mom was raised. I'm not proud of it. I'm not bragging about it. And I'm not bragging about it by the fact that I'm not that way anymore. But it's the issue. It's who I was. Today, what I notice a lot of times in young people, you know what it is? It's fat and skinny and the clothes they wear and all the attributes they can give to each group. We're very judgmental people. But the Word here is clear that every person is going to give an account of themselves. And they don't need to set at naught their brother. There's not going to be, well, I did it because of so-and-so. The Word of God says you're going to give an account of yourself. Oprah won't be there for another one to blame their husband or their wife or their dad or their mom. I was just this way. Look, if you know the difference in being right and wrong, then you know. And you're going to give an account. Let's look at this account. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 5. Now, last week, and my mind's going to last week we talked about, it just hit me, of the works that we do and the accounting that we're accounted for and the things that we receive at this judgment is of what sort it is. We talked about not how much it is. It's of what sort it is. And I hope you see this morning. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 5, let's look at this accounting. Who then is Paul? And who is Apollos? But ministers by whom ye believe. That's all they were. They were just ministers by who they believed and they saw the truth. Even as the Lord gave to every man. Paul says, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. Notice this individual, his own reward. You know, I'm talking about himself. He'll be accounted himself. And this says his own reward. His own labor. This isn't how much we do. A lot of people read this and they'll think, well, I've got to do more, I've got to do more. And they're raised in denominations. They've got to do more, they've got to do more, they've got to do more. It isn't how much you do, but it's the attitude of how you do it. It's the attitude. The issue is that we are doing it for what? For Christ's sake. The reason you labor is not to bring glory upon yourself. You just minister for the glory of God. That's the issue. You're doing for Christ. We aren't doing it as if it's about us. It's not about us. The labor is by what our attitude is. We are what? What did Paul say? We are one. Work together. Have you ever seen two people that are extremely talented? And I think of this in singers that are really talented. They'll try to out-sing each other. And you either hear one or the other. Do you ever see anybody that really knows what they're doing when they're singing with another one? Their voice, all it does is it just brings together harmony. Right? Put four people together and if you can only hear one, or one's louder than the other, they have terrible harmony. A choir director will eat you alive for that. Even though somebody may sing better than the other one by what we see as a voice, but when they sing all together, they're so much better. There's harmony. That's how the body works good together, in harmony. Right? That's why you have white blood cells and red blood cells. Right? They're both work together. Right? Those things have to be in harmony. And that's what Paul's saying in this verse. Who then is Paul and who is Apollos but ministers by whom ye believed? Even as the Lord gave to every man, this is verse 6 now, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything. Paul, because of all that he did and all that he labored, you know, that didn't do anything. It was the issue of the attitude in which he did it. For what? For Christ's sake. So that others may see. So that others may be ministered to. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one. There's that harmony. Right? It's the body. Right? And every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. When we do things that just stick out, where does the glory rest? It rests in you. So how much work you do, or whether you're in the limelight, the issue is when you teach, it's with the attitude of what you teach for. Whether you want to be brought out to be the smartest one or the most theological one, there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with growing and being on the meat and being able to help those that are the weaker brother. But you do that how? You just water. Make it to where the others can understand. If you bring it because you want everybody to... If I'm here preaching and I've got a message because I want everybody to see it and I want to walk away to where people say, man, that was really good. Ruth does this to me every Wednesday night now, by the way. Because I made mention, we were in Romans before, and I said, the issue is if I'm here for you to think I do a good job teaching, I have wasted it. The issue is that you would see the glory of God through the Word. And that should be my attitude. So now Ruth every Wednesday night says, man, that was a great job. Still kidding me, you know? And that's funny. But the issue is those that are in leadership and teaching everything to make sure where your attitude is too. Those things are important. Notice what Paul says in verse 7. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. As a body of believers, we are one. We're in harmony. We need not set aught to our brother to those things that are weaker in the faith. We need to bring them along. As teachers, our issue is that We just share the Word. We teach the Word. And we bring this along as a harmony. That's important as being of one mind. Now compare yourself and what you have done and your credentials to Paul's. And Paul says he is nothing. There are a lot of people today that, man, they'll give you their repertoire. They'll give you their list of their establishments and their collegiate... things that people look at them as being successful, right? And they make it the issue of why they can't compare it to Paul. And Paul says clearly, so then neither is he that planteth anything. 1 Corinthians 15:9. Let's remind ourselves of what Paul said. The Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15:9, "For I am the least of the apostles, that am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God I am what I am, and His grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me." What's the issue? Was it how hard he worked? It was the attitude with why he worked. You know, if you come to church every week to show yourself that, hey, this is who I am, or if you feel like that you've got to come in here and show somebody something different or amazing. You know, I used to put a lot of weight on myself as a preacher. That I would come in, I'd think, man, I've got to show them something different. I got to do something. You know, I would do that. You know what? You teach the Word. When you're out and you're not a teacher or a preacher, and you're out in the world, and you're a minister of reconciliation, that's what you teach. It's not how hard you do it. It's the attitude within what you do it. So God gets the glory. So all that, nothing within yourself that's good, but it's to God. We are instruments that will give an account. Do you agree with that? We are instruments that will give an account. It is Him that worketh in us. It's not us performing. I performed for many years is why I know this. I'm telling you, for 20 years minimum, I was a performer. And I use the Word of God to perform. Thinking that, man, I am really moving up this ladder of success. I was working. All the time. But the labor was terrible because of the attitude I had with the labor. To show God what I was doing. You know what it was when you perform? It's in vain. It's meaningless. The issue by you are as a body of believers and what you'll give an account to has to do within the labor that you do by with the attitude that you have. Do you do what you do as a body of believers to bring glory to God for the sake of Christ and what He did, and knowing that it's nothing in yourself that what you did? Or do you labor in vain? Working, being religious, being part of a denomination, and climbing the ladder of success, bringing glory to yourself. What do you bring glory to? I think that's the question. Only you have the answer.